On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Dr. Joni DeBrito joins us from Focus on the Family for our next segment. Joni, as always, thank you for your time. It's getting to be a regular thing.
Yes, I enjoy talking with you and your audience as well.
Yeah, well, it's always great information, and I hope in the time we're taking to set up our conversation, our audience is opening their note-taking device on their phone or tablet or what have you, or you know, the old-fashioned way, running for a good number two and a piece of paper. But you got to be old enough to know what that even is.
Yes, I do.
Our conversation today lands at a look at helping families get along on summer break. hopefully just that title resonates with our audience. Like, wait, no, I need to hear this. And Joni, I'm going to tell you the first things that come to mind for me, and then I'll throw it to you and we'll just organically kind of walk through some of the things to consider. One, as kids are taking, you know, some kids are going to school year round. I understand that. But, you know, for the most part, I think traditionally kids are still on summer break. Parents are interacting with little humans that they're not used to interacting with that often during the day. And then also, you know, summer often comes with trips, which means a enclosed space, whether it's a car or a hotel room or a RV, that really amps up the, relationship.
Yes.
And you know what? I don't want to scare people as we head into the summer and vacations. And actually, I'm sure we can find a way in this to have them be excited about this time.
Definitely. Most of the problems are a result of the fact that people are together for longer periods of time than during the school year, and they tend to be more closely packed in together. Very often that has to do with weather, that it's really hot outside, so everybody's indoors at the same time, etc. But this whole idea that you mentioned of being with little ones longer than what you're used to during the school year makes sense. It makes me think of the old adages, absence makes the heart grow fonder and familiarity breeds contempt. And it's really true. It's kind of like when you are in a space together with more people for longer periods of time, it's completely normal that people start to feel a little bit more stressed because we all need our personal space. And we also tend to go through the school year months with schedules that we maintain while our children are at school. So when they come home for the summer, they kind of invade that personal space and change our schedule as well. And along with you, I don't want to be negative because I think summer can be a wonderful time for families to connect. But it just takes a little bit more pre-planning and intentionality to make sure that you can have the time that you do spend together be a very positive experience.
Well, let's jump into that. When you mentioned pre-planning, I'm going to guess that's not only for a trip or an event, but really as you look at the summer in whole.
Yes. So we know that kids do well in school because they have to keep a schedule during the day. From class to class, there are, for younger kids, recesses thrown in there. For older kids, some extracurricular activities that might be a part of the school day, study hall, those different kinds of things that occur. And so they're kept busy throughout the day, and they've been wired for that once they're in school. They're used to having a schedule that they have to keep. And it keeps them not only organized, but it's also a comfort because there's comfort in organization. None of us like to be in the midst of confusion and chaos. So at home, it's really important to establish a summer schedule. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to do this class and that class and so forth, but it's more like we're going to try to be up by a certain time. Maybe kids get to sleep in longer. That's one of the advantages of the summer. But then we're going to have breakfast. Then we're going to do this or that in the morning time. And then we'll have lunch. And these are the things that we might do in the afternoon. We'll have dinner. And I still think it's a good idea for kids to be in the habit of going to bed maybe a little later in the summer, but trying to go to bed at about the same time, because it's not very long before they get back to school and they have to be ready to get up at certain times and go to bed at certain times as well. You can relax that a little bit, but you still want to have a schedule. And so just the fact that they know what to predict from day to day is stress relieving for kids and for parents as well. And I would encourage listeners to recognize that it's also very normal for sibling rivalry to kind of ramp up when kids are alone together, because they also don't spend all day together when they're in school. They're in separate classes, et cetera. Even if they're at the same school, they may not even see their sibling all day long. And so teaching kids how to spend time alone and to be comfortable with being alone, helping them figure out what are my gifts and my strengths, how do I like to spend my time when I'm alone, and so forth. That's a great skill that can help minimize the sibling rivalry, but also teach skills that your kids can take into their adulthood, because they will be spending plenty of time alone when they are adults as well.
Yeah. And I love that you brought up, the sleeping in and staying up. I mean, that goes back to my day. I know we love sure. to stay up and quite honestly, probably spend more time in front of the screen than we needed to, sleep in and get that rest. But there's a balance, I'm going to imagine, when it comes, not only with that, I'm thinking summertime as a parent. Okay. We're getting the house painted.
Sure.
or whatever chores the parents have in mind, but how yes. important it is to keep a balance. I think of the Lord, he gave, as an example, he rested the seventh day. He gave us a year of Jubilee. Yes. He sets the example for rest. How important is it to balance that with taking, being good stewards with the extra time we're given to get some of those things done we didn't get done during the school year?
It is all about that word you just said. It's balance. So we do need to take advantage of having some of that extra time. And one of the things that you can do to motivate children to stay busy before they are old enough to go out and get a job and be busy with a part-time job during the summer, you can come up with those, deferred maintenance jobs that we all have on our homes. Or if you, are in an apartment or what have you, you may have deferred maintenance on your car, et cetera. And those are the kinds of things for which it could be appropriate to offer some payment, which is a great incentive for kids. And it's not just that they'll only help you if they're getting paid, because of course, there are still things that they can be expected to do that they're not going to be paid for: keeping your room clean, taking out the trash, helping with the kind of household chores. But those extra things that you were alluding to, hey, we're going to paint the house, if you can say, and I'd like to pay you this year. Now, this is assuming kids are old enough. We're not talking about paying a two-year-old to help you paint the house. But my grandchildren now are 10 and 12, and they have had a wonderful time the last 2 years doing a number of big projects for us and us paying them. And I am telling you, we are paying them very conservatively. We are not throwing lots of money at them, but they've made some good money because of how hard they've worked. Some days they've worked for 6 or 8 hours, and we keep telling them, you can stop now. You don't have to keep working. And they'll say, oh no, this is fun. We want to keep doing this. And they literally are doing the kind of thing that we would have to pay an outside party to do.
Yeah.
And so we're paying them, but we're not paying nearly as much that we would have to pay someone else to do it for us.
Well, I think there's some real wisdom there. I mean, a workman is worthy his wages, and do not muzzle yes. the ox. So we're encouraged to pay people for their service. But at the right. same time, you're sharing with your grandchildren with opportunities like that, service to others. And with that, I kind of want to go into the whole relationship thing. And it is difficult when you're around people more. They always say You know, if you want to know if this is someone you could spend the rest of your life with, well, do some traveling with them.
Yes.
With that in mind, I think what, I know when I do, when I'm even a guest at someone's home, maybe I go somewhere for a vacation. When we are loving them more than we love ourselves, it just makes it so much easier to coexist in a space you're not used to coexisting in. And the other part of that, I think, is communication. To even the things we're talking about here, Joni, how healthy would it be to say, hey guys, we're headed into this season. This is what's going to happen. And this is what, you know, this is what we're going to combat, not to minimize, the issues that they're about to run into.
Yeah. The last couple of years, my daughter and son-in-law and my husband and I, along with our grandchildren, as part of the conversation, have had conversations about the summer and the days that they will very likely be at our house and the days that they'll be at home. They're at home much more than they're at our house, but the expectations that we have, and we always emphasize kindness and respect, that there may be things we ask them to do and they don't understand, or they have a question or they don't want to do it. It's okay for them to say, oh, I'm kind of tired today. Can I do that tomorrow or whatever? And we may say yes, or we may say no. And we get the buy-in from their parents, and we all talk to them together and say, the expectation is that if mom or dad say this must be done today, or Nana or Papa say this must be done today, it needs to be done today. Even if you don't feel like it, you know, that's a great life lesson. We all have to do things at times when we don't want to do them. So we always talk about that. And one of the things we talk about, we laugh about it now. And the reason we laugh about it now is because 3 years ago, we had kind of a rough summer. It wasn't a terrible summer at all, but for our family, it was a little rough because the siblings were into a lot of sibling rivalry. And we just said, you know what? There's a better way to do this. We're going to talk to them before the summer starts next time and talk about, when we see that things are going this way, here are some things so-and-so that you can do. You can go in the basement and what kinds of things would you like to do there? We'll even get it set up for you. And for you, where would you like to go and what would you like to do? You can go up in the room that's designated for kids or whatever, or, you know, outdoor things that they can be doing separately from one another. And so talking about it beforehand is such a good idea. I also wanted to wind up with what I was saying about the doing chores for payment. It's been a great opportunity to reinforce some of the concepts they're learning at home about money management. So, you know, you can think of all the things that you might want to buy with this, but we're also asked to tithe and give. And so my grandkids, when they make money, they're always like, oh, I know I have to save this much to tithe, and I think I'd like to give this much for such and such. Sometimes they have like a gift they want to give to someone else. And then I am saving up for whatever. My grandson loves Legos. So there's, you know, a lot of Lego things that he's interested in.
I love Legos.
Yeah. So he's often saving for that. But what's good is that he will save money to buy something, but save money for the long term, tithe, and then have some money to use for maybe some necessities that he wants to buy. So it's kind of a nice way to teach money management as well.
Yeah, we could spend a lot longer than the time we have talking about this, because there's always some great ideas. With that, Dr. Joni DeBrito, who's been our guest from Focus on the Family, I'm sure there's resources you can aim our listeners to.
Yes, there are some great resources. You can go to focusonthefamily.com and put in pretty much anything that you might be searching about summer, whether it's sibling rivalry or family relationships, what have you. We also have a lot of information on there about screen time, and you mentioned that earlier, Steve. We certainly don't want kids to be spending all of their time on screens, whether it be TV, phones, computers, what have you. We typically say no more than 2 hours of non-academic screen time per day for kids. And there is a wonderful book that the Plugged In team at Focus on the Family produced called Becoming a Screen Savvy Family. And that's a great book that parents can pick up to help their kids use their devices wisely in the summer as well.
Well, again, Joni DeBrito with Focus on the Family, so much appreciate the time you've taken to help us consider families getting along on summer break. And hopefully now families have a reason to be excited about heading into summer and enjoying time together. Joni, thanks again for your time.
You're very welcome.
And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.